So for the last couple of weeks, we've been asking a lot of questions about the Christmas season. Not so much about how we celebrate, like presents and trees and cookies and parties. We've been asking questions more about what we celebrate, because what we celebrate at Christmas is the most important event in history, and that is that Jesus came. So the first question we asked was, Jesus came, but why? What was his reason or his purposes in coming? And we said that he came to reveal the Father, and he came to restore his kingdom, and he came to restore us. And then last week we said, Jesus came, but how? And we talked about the attitude that Jesus came in so that we could try to fulfill our purposes with the same attitudes that he had, and we could live our lives and come at this life the way Jesus came, humbly and selflessly and focused on the kingdom and in full obedience to God and full of compassion and full of forgiveness. So for this week, we're going to ask another really important question. Jesus came, but for whom? Is that the right grammar?
Yes.
English teachers, anybody?
Yes.
Is that right, Candace? For whom? Whom? Okay, that sounds weird. So today we're going to look at who Jesus came for. I can't do it. And listen, and if you're good boys and girls, then we're going to let you hear from some of the people for whom Jesus came. But first of all, the gospel, the good news. I'm going to put a verse up on the screen. You might have heard it before. And I'm going to ask you to say these highlighted words with me. This is John 3:16. It says, this is how God loved the world. You missed your chance. That was your cue. Okay, we're going to say it with me. The highlighted stuff, say it with me, okay? This is how God loved. That was so much better. He gave his one and only son so that
everyone
who believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I know you've heard that verse. I bet you memorized that verse as a kid. You've got it on a t-shirt or a bumper sticker or a coffee mug somewhere. But I just think this time of year, it's really important that we get a little reminder, because this time of year, Satan gets in a lot of ears. And I think sometimes we see all the Christmassy stuff, and particularly the real Christmas. I'm not just talking about like Rudolph and Santa and all that, but we see the Jesus stuff. And I think for a lot of us, Satan gets in our ear and he says, you know what, you can have the Santa and you can have the stockings and you might even have some fun and you might even get some presents, but this Jesus stuff is not for you, because Jesus came for better people than you. Jesus came for more religious people than you. Jesus came for smarter people than you. Jesus came for cleaner people, prettier people than you. Jesus came for people that fit in. Jesus came for the people that are popular. Jesus came for people who've acted better than you and who look better than you and have their lives together more than you. And I think it's just really easy this time of year to confuse Jesus with Santa Claus. Because Santa keeps two lists, right? What are they? Naughty and nice. Didn't know John 3:16 that well, but we knew naughty and nice. So that's quite a commentary. That's got to review a little bit here. So, for Santa, if you're on the nice list, that is, I mean, great news. Because Santa Claus is coming to town. Yeah? And if you're on that list, he's coming especially for you. He's going to hook you up. If you're on the nice list. But if you're on the naughty list, then sorry. Santa's coming, but not for you. And that might be how Santa rolls, but Jesus did not come specifically for people on the nice list. And that is really great news for us, because if I can be straight with you, apart from Jesus, we're all on the naughty list. Yeah? In fact, Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. So the bad news of Romans 3 is we're all sinners. The good news of 1 Timothy 1:15 is Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So how many of you have sinned? Is this on? Maybe you didn't understand the question. how many of you have sinned? Yeah, you might as well say it, right? Because I'm a pastor, you know? If you don't say it, he'll tell me. So here's a weird thing for your pastor to say to you, though. If you have sinned, you are blessed. If you have sinned, you are blessed. And you know why? Because Jesus came for you. That verse in John says he came for everybody that would believe in him. Everyone that would believe in him. Does that include sinners? I mean, that specifically includes sinners. It says everyone. And that's just all kinds of people. So just so that this doesn't say too broad, I just want to kind of personalize this gospel message a little bit for you and say this. Jesus came for you. Jesus came for you. Romans 3:22 says, we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. And now you've just missed the chance of a lifetime to say amen or hallelujah or praise Jesus or something, preach something. And I know a lot of you, I know it's not our culture, you know. I know we're very stiff people here. But this is Christmas, you know. Just maybe you've always just said, I want to be more vocal in church. I want to be one of those people that says, hallelujah, or something, you know. But I don't know, when's the right time or something. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you, okay? I'm going to read that again. And when I give you the signal, you just holler out whatever you feel, okay? Amen, praise Jesus, hallelujah, preach, whatever you got. You ready? Are you going to do it or not?
Yes.
Okay, here it comes. We're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, and this is true for everyone who believes. Yeah. See, that's fun, right? We should do that all the time. I think this might be five of the best words in the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. No matter who we are. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us something really important. God doesn't want anyone to die. God doesn't want anybody to be separated from him. He wants everybody to believe in Jesus. He wants everybody to live with him forever. Jesus came for everyone, no matter who we are. And Jesus doesn't keep a naughty list of people that he didn't come for. He only keeps a list of people that he did come for. And it's not called the nice list. It's called the book of life. And that book is full of names of all kinds of people. That list is like the most diverse list in history because it's made up of all kinds of people. And they have really only one thing in common. And that is that all of those people really believe in Jesus. And if you believe, if you have put your faith and your trust and your hope in him so much that you've given your life to him, then you are on that list. And Jesus came for you. Here it comes. No matter who you are. That's good news, man. This is the gospel. And so, if you've been to church every Sunday of your life and you honored your parents and you've never tasted alcohol and you've never lied or cheated or stolen anything, you've never had an ugly thought, you've never farted in church, you're just so good. If that's you, listen. If that's you, Jesus came for you. That's cool. But he came for everyone who believes. So like, if you struggle with demons, if you struggle with a demon of anger or addiction or anxiety or worry or fear, maybe you're kind of feeling like, well, he came for those good people. Maybe he didn't come for me. Maybe I don't fit into God's family because of my demons. But can I share a story with you? In Luke chapter 8, there's a really cool story of this man that was so full of demons that they kept him chained up in a cemetery outside of town because it wasn't safe to be around him. And Jesus is on this like tour, like speaking engagements, and he's healing people, and he's doing these amazing miracles. And he specifically crossed a lake in a storm to heal that man. And I'm telling you, that man's story means even if you struggle with all kinds of demons, Jesus came for you. And then actually on the same page, He answers the prayer of a religious leader, like a rabbi. And this is a very religious person. And he wanted Jesus to heal his daughter, and he does. And I think this story means something. Maybe you've been a religious person. You know, maybe you've pursued religion instead of Jesus. Maybe your relationship is with like your liturgy or your processes or whatever you call your religion instead of being with Jesus. Or maybe like that little girl, your association with God is through your family. Your only really connection to God is through your family. I just want to just say to you, if that's you, this story proves Jesus came for that little girl. Jesus came for that rabbi. Jesus came for you. Still in Luke 8, the next page, he heals this woman that's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. She's been so sick, and the doctors couldn't help her, and so they took all of her money. So now she's sick and broke. And in addition to being sick and broke, now because of this bleeding, they say that she's unclean and she can't come and worship God with the people. And so I think there's a real story here. Maybe you're sick and maybe you're broke. And maybe you feel judged and rejected by people that claim to be Christians. Can I share the gospel with you? Jesus came for you. Jesus touched lepers. I mean, leprosy was a horrible, horrible thing. So contagious and so awful that when somebody got leprosy, like nobody would get near them. They wore a bell around their neck to warn people to stay away from them. They had to yell out, if you came near me and I'm a leper, I was required by law to yell out unclean. And everybody would yell out unclean, unclean. And I meant stay away, stay away. Can you imagine living your life like that? Can you imagine not only the physical pain and all the stuff that you're going through, but to be completely ostracized, completely separated from society, even your own family, not being willing to talk to you or be with you or touch you? And yet Jesus touched lepers. He spent time with lepers. He healed lepers. And I think these stories are in the Bible as reminders for us, even if you feel like that, even if you feel isolated, even if you feel alone, Jesus came for you. Jesus healed blind people even when people said that their blindness was a punishment for their sins. So maybe that's your deal. Maybe your life isn't going that great and you're feeling like God is punishing you for something that you've done. Can I tell you something? Jesus came for you. Jesus healed the daughter of a Roman officer. The Romans rejected Yahweh. The Romans were opposing God's people, and maybe you feel like you've done that. Maybe you've rejected God in the past. Maybe you fought against him and fought against his plans, and now you're wondering if you can be forgiven. This just in, Jesus came for you. On the cross next to Jesus, there was a criminal. Not an accused criminal, not an alleged criminal. He said he was guilty. He said that he had been so sinful and evil and illegal and violent in his life that he deserved the death penalty. And he was dirty and naked and covered in blood and spit and shame. And he never got baptized and he never went to church and he never memorized the scripture. But do you remember what Jesus said to him? Today you will be with me in paradise. And maybe you relate to his story. Maybe you think you deserve death. Maybe you think you deserve separation from God. And maybe you feel naked and dirty, covered in blood and shame. Maybe you think it's too late for you. But can I tell you something? Jesus came so that you could be with him in paradise. Jesus came for you. And maybe you think that your past or your failures or your background or how people see you means that you're not on Jesus' list of people that he came for. But that demon-possessed man and that rabbi and his little girl and that woman and those lepers and those blind people and that Roman soldier and that criminal on the cross would beg to differ, because they're with Jesus right now. And they are screaming at you from their stories because they want you to know. And Jesus wants you to know, he came for you. And if you feel unworthy of Jesus coming for you, let me encourage you with this: you are. How's that? You are unworthy of Jesus, because we all are, but that's okay, because yeah, Jesus, he came for solid, moral, good people who go to church and who volunteer and who share their time and share their money. But Jesus also came for the unworthy. Jesus also came for the unholy and the broken and the unlovable and the neglected and the abused and the forgotten. He came for everyone. And you probably already know this, and I don't want to repeat myself, but I just think somebody here needs to hear it more than once. Jesus came for you. He came for all who would believe. So, today, since you've been so good all year, I have a present for you. I'm going to stop talking for a minute, and I have invited some people up to tell you their Jesus stories. And I wanted to do this for a couple of reasons. One is just to glorify Jesus, and just to remind ourselves of his grace and his mercy and his faithfulness, and just to celebrate that grace and that mercy and that faithfulness in the lives of some of our brothers and sisters, but also just to remind us of the incredible diversity of God's kingdom. His family is like a beautiful mosaic, and it's made out of all different people with all different stories coming from all different places. And I just want to remind you that whatever your story, Jesus came for all kinds of people. And so his kingdom is full of all kinds of stories. Do you want to hear a couple?
Yeah?
Yeah? Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to invite Steve and Dana to come up first. You can clap. Here we go. So you guys just clap and cheer for them, because Dana's scared to death right now. She was. But now she's cool. So, tell us your Jesus story.
Second time. So
it's good.
Second time, so hopefully I get it right this time.
No, you got it good the first time.
We've been members and been part of the church here since it started, in the first Sunday in the tent. Mm. And so we've gone through all that with this group, and we love it. Mm. We're so happy to be here. Before that, we were part of CBC in San Antonio, and we're invited to a life group. And when we got there, it was Larry and Margaret's life group. So we've been a part and friends with Larry and Margaret for a long time. And it's really that we cherish it.
Me too.
Our story, first of all, we've been married 46 years.
Wow.
Four married children and 13 grandchildren. We all live close in the area, and we love to get together and have gatherings. So it's always fun. Our story is that we both came to the Lord early in life. Very early, but we needed Jesus, and he came for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the story that I tell is some highs and lows, just snapshots of our life over that long period of time. So it's not like we live this way all the time, but it happened, and it was our story. And Jesus brought us through. He said in the scripture that the wise man will build his house upon a rock is like the one who hears his words and does them and lives by them. He said that at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so that's something that we really tried to take into our life, and it helped us go through these times. First, we had a time at a highs in our life was when in our 20s, Vietnam War was just ending, and there was such a searching of kids all over America for the meaning for life. And God caused a real move of the Spirit throughout the country. And I got to be involved, and Dana got to be involved in a coffee house ministry in Fort Worth, Texas. We didn't serve coffee, and it wasn't a house. It actually was a old abandoned bar, and it just happened to be close to TCU. It was a great place to bring people in. We had over, I don't know how long a period of time, every week we would have the place completely packed with people. We sat on the floors, we had chairs. There were times that we had so many people, they sat under the piano, they sat up on even an area of like a beam up in the ceiling, just to be able to have a place to sit. So we had a tremendous time. The people were so hungry for God, and it just pulled it out of you. Whereas I think I grew more than they did, because I just kept having more and more of wanting to be able to share, and they asking me, you know, all about God. So that was such a great time. Dana came along shortly into that ministry, and we got to be together and end up getting married, and even had our wedding in the bar. So
that's classy.
Quite a time. That was probably one of the highest places in our life that we really enjoyed God working and seeing how many people were touched in that time period. Right? Okay. That grew to the point where we stayed together as friends, marriages happened, and we ended up being a full-fledged church. And years went by. Everything was going great. I was having, you know, great highs. It just was a great time. And then we came into our lowest of lows. And it just, this, I tell this story because God will bring you through. And this was a test, I guess, for us. It was very, very difficult. But our family, first of all, if you understand, we had been together. Our kids had been born during that time around our friends. We were one in a great church, a great family. We had gone through several pastors. This was into the third pastor. And I was on staff and was in leadership role. And our life group that we had was growing and vibrant. And for some reason, this pastor began to have feelings that I was undermining him and began to think that I was going around trying to tell people stories to try to cause a church split, which wasn't the truth, but that's what he believed. At that time, the Lord just really dealt with me that we needed to just be silent and not do anything that would cause him to think that way. But it continued. And it got to the place where it was very, very much of a struggle. And one morning as I was shaving, I just felt like the Lord spoke to me very clearly. And he just says, I am severing you from this church, and the ministry and that assignment has been ended. I started to argue with him. And he just said, you're severed and it is ended. And I have other things for you and I will bless you as you go. So I began to really ponder that and deal with it. And finally, I went back to the pastor and I tried to reason through what was going on, but it didn't change. It didn't make a difference. And so finally, I let him know that we as a family would be leaving the church. At that point in time, he got very angry with us. And he told me in no uncertain terms, you are not to come back to this church. Your family is not allowed to come back. And I never want to see you again. Then, a couple of weeks later, I received a recording of a service that had happened. And in this service, it was a specially called service for the church members to let them know publicly that we were being denounced and then that they were to shun our family. That was the lowest of lows. There would have been a time when you could just say, God, what's the use? And just give up. But he had more for us than that. And I knew that wasn't God. That wasn't his heart. That wasn't his love. I had been going to a pastor's prayer meeting for citywide, and there was a guy that stood as a statesman for the kingdom of God. He was one of the pastors, and I contacted him, and I discussed with him. I asked for prayer, asked for counseling, and got together with him. And I tell you, at that time, Dana will tell you, that we went through such a healing as he wept over us, as he prayed, and as he held us as a shepherd and cared for us and invited us into his church. And then that was the beginning of the restoration that we needed in our lives. And it took years. It wasn't something that happened overnight. It was very hard for our kids because we lost all our friends. But then God brought us here and brought us to this great church. We have great friends, and he's restored so much that we had lost. And I'm so thankful to him, and we give him all the praise.
Amen.
Well, I wish I could say that I had walked in faith and stood strong through those highs and through the lows, especially the lows, but I didn't. My husband is a great man of faith, very strong in faith. And when we would, anytime we encountered where the rug was pulled out from under us, he would say, "This may have taken us by surprise, but it didn't take God by surprise." And we're going to hold on to this scripture in Psalm, that once I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. So as I've gotten older, I can say that I do trust God. I know that he's at the beginning of a situation and he's at the end of the situation. And I know in Malachi it says, "I am God and I do not change." And in Hebrews 13 it says, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." So I do hold on to that. So I know that if God parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel, and they walked through it, not on muddy ground, not on wet ground, but on dry, solid ground, that he's going to be there for me, and we're going to walk through the situation with him.
Good job, man. That was awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Proud of you. Good job. Thanks, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, you want to hear another one?
Yeah.
Okay, Hattie, come on up. This is Hattie. Y'all clap for Hattie. I know. I'm just waiting for somebody to trip down those stairs. But it's not you. Not today.
Not today.
Okay, Hattie, tell us your story.
It's my second time up here, and it's still so pretty. Hi, everybody. Forgive me. Sorry. So I wrote mine down so I could kind of keep on track. And it's kind of challenging to take this journey and put it into a little 3 to 5 minute snippet, but I'm going to try it for y'all. So I grew up with wonderful grandparents who led me to God. From a young age, I felt called to something greater. I remember at 7 years old telling my grandmother that I was special and God had a purpose for me. And I held on to that faith through everything. As a child, I was often bullied for being overweight, enduring more than just name calling. There was pushing, spitting, and physical violence. And the teachers wouldn't intervene. When I told my parents, they advised me to ignore it, hoping it would just go away. But despite it all, I still believed I was special. Music then became my refuge. It was my escape from the torment, a way to survive the dark days. I knew music was a gift from God, and I cherished it deeply. As I grew older, I prayed for adulthood, hoping that adults would be kinder and more understanding, but they weren't. The disappointment continued, but I refused to let go of my belief in the goodness of people. In my 20s, I met someone who would destroy everything I knew. He sold me off to pay a debt, and for 2 days, I was held captive. I was forced to do drugs and assaulted repeatedly by several men. My life was threatened, and I truly believed I wouldn't survive, yet somehow I was released. I was lost, I was broken, I was filled with anger, and I turned away from God. How could he tell that sweet little girl that she was so special as a child, and then allow my life to spiral into this nightmare? Sorry. I stopped singing and rejected the gift he had given me. I sought refuge in drugs, hoping they would numb the pain and end my life. For months, I spiraled deeper into darkness until one day I escaped. I ran to Austin, trying to leave my past behind, but the weight of it all led me to food. I ate to the point of self-destruction, reaching 530 pounds, and convinced I was dying. But then my grandfather, on his deathbed, whispered to me that he loved me, and everything changed. I fell to my knees, prayed to the God that I had hated, and asked for forgiveness for myself and for those who had hurt me. But would he still listen? And would he still care? 2 years later, I had lost 320 pounds and was living a healthier, happier life in Austin. During that time, I started having dreams where I could hear God clearly urging me forward. It was then that he told me it was time to return to San Antonio. But I was terrified of facing the pain of my past. But God's voice was persistent. Like, y'all, he was like yelling. Like, go. Time to go. So eventually I took the step, moving back and living just down the road from my father. Within a month, and I mean literally I was here for 1 month, I met my now husband. Our relationship was quick, but it felt meant to be. 3 years later, when we were together, I almost died of a massive blood clot that ran the entire length of my left leg and was in both of my lungs. But both my husband and God carried me through. In January 2016, we discovered we were pregnant. Now, I had been told because of the trauma I suffered that I would not be able to conceive, and if I did, I would not be able to carry to full term. In March of that year, we were married, and in September, we welcomed our daughter, Madeline, the miracle I never thought I would have. My heart was full, and God was guiding my every step. Even so, I longed for a church community again, and that's when I found Home Church. Looking back at the painful chapters in my life, I now see that God was with me through every trial. He never abandoned me, even when I couldn't feel him. My journey has been filled with challenges, but also with the greatest rewards. My purpose became clear. It was to find my husband, to have our miracle baby, and to share my story with others who are suffering and lost. God has also tasked me with starting a foundation that was inspired by a beautiful group of ladies that I will never forget and can never express how much I truly love them. I was so far gone, but God, Jesus, my family, and my friends never gave up on me. There is always hope. I promise, there's always hope. It's never too late, and there is a miracle and a purpose waiting for you. You just have to be brave enough to take a step and then listen. I want to give a special thank you to the Wednesday Night Bible Study Women's Group, who again have changed my life and made me feel so loved and so welcomed. Thank you for allowing me to share my story with you today. I'm just simple Hattie, a girl who survived what life threw at her, and I'm now someone who wants to make a difference in people's lives. Always remember, one day at a time, one step at a time, and God loves you more than you know.
Oh, good. Thank you. Thank you. I'll take that. Thanks, Addie. Okay, y'all want to hear another one?
Yeah.
I got no place to be, man. Okay, Shauna Miranda, come on up. This is Shauna Miranda. Y'all better clap for them. Okay, who's first?
I'll kick it off.
Okay.
All right. I want to give you all a little bit of background on who Jesus came after. Growing up, I thought my world was perfect, and that was until I started dealing with some hardships like sexual abuse, watching my dad battle cancer, and him passing away a month before my 16th birthday. Dealing with these hardships and not knowing God made it easy for me to blame God. And as a young adult, I quickly claimed to be an atheist. My method for handling these hardships was to glorify the world, being who the world wanted me to be. And being a young, influenceable girl, I fell into the trap of idolizing my self-image. And this worldly environment led to an excessive use of drugs and alcohol. When I met Sean, I think it's safe to say that I was extremely lost. But little did I know he would be the one to stir up my curiosity in Jesus, and a seed would be planted that changed my life forever.
Well, I'm Sean Rosendahl. I went to church as a kid, but I didn't know who God was. I lived for myself. I sought only to please myself, and I had faith only in myself. I idolized money and things of this world. Chasing them led me addicted to drugs, alcohol, and other things. I met Miranda at a car show, idolizing these things. We started to date. We dated for 7 months as I was out running a prison sentence. We got tired and decided it was best to turn myself in. While I was in prison, I was looking for an excuse not to change. So I picked up the Bible to prove it wrong and ended up falling in love with Jesus. I developed a thirst for God and tried to share it with Miranda through phone calls, visitations, and letters, but it kind of annoyed her.
It was slightly annoying, but I did have my own encounter with Jesus.
Well, 5 years turned into 18 months, and I got out of prison. We knew we had to honor God with our relationship, so we got married 11 days after I got out. There's so much more to our story. God's provision, our three little girls, it's a story in itself. Now on our walk or hike with God, he has revealed to us our kingdom work. Here at Home Church, we have found amazing sermons.
Yeah.
Family.
Can't disagree.
Yeah. Amen.
Families to do life with, a men's group for me, the women's group for Miranda, an amazing kids ministry, and then my favorite is Camp Agape.
A few months ago, we really experienced the love of Jesus through our church. Our youngest daughter had a scary accident, and in this time, we were covered in so many prayers, words of encouragement, love, and amazing food. And I can honestly say that I don't know how we would have gotten through it without y'all.
Miranda and I were probably the furthest away you could be from God, or so we thought. He always was there, and now here we are now, doing our best to help our girls and the people around us experience the kingdom. I seek God's will for my life now, not my own. I try to glorify him in everything we do, and my hope is in him and in him alone.
And I now have a renewed view of Jesus and an understanding of who I'm meant to be in his kingdom. Thanks for letting us share.
Good job. You know, man. You did such a good job. Thank you. Thank you. Good job. Well, that was cool, right? I didn't know if I was going to do it because I didn't know what they would do, but they did okay. I'm proud of them. That was awesome. These are all pretty different stories, and I think the whole idea is we praise Jesus because he came for all of us, for the clean and the dirty. And for the rich and the poor and the strong and the weak and the popular and the forgotten. And he didn't wait till we were good enough. One of my favorite verses is Romans 5:7. It says, most of us wouldn't even be willing to die for an upright person. Although someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person that's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Jesus is worthy of our worship exactly because we weren't worthy of him. And he came for us anyway. when we were unholy and when we were broken and when we were unworthy and hurting and we were lost and lonely and hopeless, Jesus came for us. And we all come from different places. And there's no two stories in here that are the same, but we have one thing in common, and that is that Jesus came for us. He came for everyone who would believe. Jesus came for everyone. Jesus came for all of us. And maybe more importantly, Jesus came for each of us. And his love and his mercy and his kindness and his grace and his healing is so big that it's big enough to cover Steve and Dana, and it's big enough to cover Hattie, and it's big enough to cover Sean and Miranda, and you and me and everyone who believes in him. Even as different as our stories are, we have this one thing in common. We have this one, like, common thread that binds us together, and that's that Jesus came for all of us. So even though we're different, we're not divided. And even though we're anything but uniform, we're unified. And even though we come from really different pasts, our futures are the same. Eternal life with Jesus in God's kingdom. And it's all because Jesus came for all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for coming for us, and not waiting till we were clean enough or good enough or rich enough or smart enough or pretty enough. Thank you for coming for us while we were still sinners, because that shows not how good we are. That shows how good you are. That shows us how loving you are. So Jesus, we just want to thank you this season, but like every day, we just want to thank you for loving us so much that you came for us. And I just pray today, Lord, that as we go through this season and we sing our songs and we eat our cookies and we go to our parties and open our presents and all this stuff, that we'll enjoy those times. But remember, those are how we celebrate. What we celebrate is you, that you came for us. You came for all of us. You came for each of us. In your name we pray. Amen.